Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 199 for January 21st, 2019. Brian's very carefully dancing today because his surroundings.
Carefully dancing.
Yeah.
I like that.
You got to be careful because you're going to bust something. Something's going to break, yo.
I do. Yes. If you're in the chat room, you know I'm in my backup location for recording, which is our spare bedroom. Office is being worked on now, and I'll be back there next week. But yeah, this week I got a little bit tight area.
It's a good look.
Can't dance around as much.
It's a good look. I like it. There's nothing wrong with this. It's all fine. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Boop. I'm Scott, that's Brian, and we are doing another show for you about der video games. And it's a good day to do that. It turns out it's one of these days where, well, it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is good because a lot of people have it off, but I couldn't go anywhere if I wanted. There's a foot and a half of snow out there on the street, and probably two on my driveway, so I ain't going anywhere. Staying right here.
A foot and a half of snow for you Utahs. You guys, that's like nothing.
Well, I mean, we do know what to do with it. We know to shovel it, move it around a little bit. We can drive on it if we have to. Like the world doesn't end. Schools still happen today, by the way. No schools are out. Everything just goes along like normal. Unlike down there, where y'all get your underwear way up your cracks about any kind of snow at all. Right?
Hey, if you only get like one or two snows a year, you make the most of it.
It's usually not even snow. You guys get like a little ice or something like that, right? A little ice storm or something.
Yes, it's 38. So, I mean, it's almost cold enough to snow here. Not quite, but yeah, we wish.
All right. Well, there's the weather. Now let's do sports. Video games. Hey, everybody. You know what you're here for. You're here to talk about gaming, and we are too. So somebody the other day, it was today. We had a guy in here looking at our upstairs ISP, which is a kind of a free one we get with the Homeowners Association. I have a business one down here.
Upstairs ISP. I've never heard that term, but okay, yes, please.
But Kim uses it. It's on, you know, like they're all watching their stupid streaming shows with it. It's there. It's the rest of the house's internet, and then mine is like a dedicated business level connection that I run down here for other reasons. So the nice thing is if something ever poops out completely, well, I have a little bit of a backup up there if I need it. So that's kind of cool. But anyway, the guy was here up in the speed because they went from DSL 1 to DSL 2, which I learned today as a designation on DSL coverage. So they did that, and that's nice because it doubled our speed up there. Great, whatever. That only affects them. But he's sitting there, and he says, so I understand when I was here earlier, you were talking on a microphone. I said, yeah. He goes, He goes, now what do you do? And I said, I just get the word, like almost said pod, not quite. And he goes, podcaster? Oh, my Lord, I listen to so many podcasts. Just look at my phone. He whips out his phone and goes, and he's showing me all these shows. Oh, I love me this one. This American Life has always got a great slice of life story to tell me. And over here, I like the other deal, and he's super into it, right? Like way into it.
Right.
So he asked me, what are my shows about? And I said, today I have one at 3:30 that's all about video games. And he goes, oh, interesting. Do you play the video games on there? And I said, no, not on the show. Other times maybe we'll stream them or something. But on this show, we just talk about what we're playing. Ooh, interesting. What kind of games? Like Fortnite? And I said, no, not really Fortnite players so much. I mean, we'll talk about it if it's an interesting thing to bring up or it's a news item or something. Maybe we'll discuss it, but not really playing it. My kids like it, whatever. They're kind of off it again. They're back to playing Overwatch again. My kids are.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, we delve into like really indie kind of smaller PC titles sometimes or mobile titles occasionally or, you know, stuff that's a little off the radar, not necessarily a AAA games, although those get talked about. But, you know, we're a little more of a niche show. And he goes, wait, you talk about like strange little independent games? I said, yeah. He goes, well, that's all I buy on my PC. This would be fantastic. So we got if he's listening right now, I hope I didn't ruin your accent. It was really nice having you here today.
That's great.
You should check out the show and let us know what you think, Mr. PC Gamer.
Mr. PC Gamer, if you really like it, up my speed one more time.
Yeah, stick it
just
on
a
over
little
here.
Bit more.
Oh, yeah. all right, let's talk about games we're playing. Along with, we're going to do something a little different this week because we have kind of, you and I have kind of ongoing gaming concerns. And I don't mean we're concerned. I mean, like they'd say in the old days, he's with the woolen concern. I'd up the road where they make wool products. That's the wool concern. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
They still do this in other parts of the world, but we don't really call them concerns anymore. But anyway, we have ongoing game things we're into, whatever they may be. And for me, I'm still playing Vermintide 2 with friends, having a blast in there.
Wait, you're playing with friends?
Yeah.
I'm your friends. I have access to Vermintide 2. Why aren't we playing?
Why aren't you installing Vermintide 2 and playing with us?
Well, it's a little bit part. I don't want to jump ahead too far in my story of what's going on this week, but let's just say I have an Xbox One S now, and it's free if you got the Play Pass, which I have, of course.
Well, that's too bad because there's, I know, it's not crossplay. I actually don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. It might be. I don't know. Is it?
It might be.
Well, let's find out. Hold on.
Let's find out.
Tide 2.
Because I almost installed it, but I was like, nah, Scott's done. PC.
No. I'm still playing that thing, man. I'm loving it. Let's see. Warhammer, producer, Xbox One, crossplay and modding. Okay, crossplay between PC and Xbox. I can't find a definitive answer here.
Right. So there is a lot of crossplay on the Xbox, and it's usually with PC, but sometimes it's just with the Microsoft Store. I don't know if it'll interact with the Steam or not.
Yeah.
That's some good question. That's some stuff we need to find out this year.
Yeah, we could find that out somehow.
Yeah. Rocket League is crossplay, as they mentioned.
Rocket League, I've been itching to get in there again because I do enjoy some Rocket League. So who said that in the chat? Morning Glory 95.
Morning Glory. Hey, the chat room's kind of scant. Did we Twitter post this? Let me Twitter post
this. We did, but they're just, you know, they come when they come. It's fine.
Oh, it's Martin Luther King Day.
It's Martin Luther King Day. Oh, yeah, you know what? That's true. That's why there's no snow today. There's snow day today. The kids aren't going to school anyway because it's a school holiday. Derp, derp. Wasn't thinking. Anyway, I've been playing Vermintide. I've been playing, I started playing Wildlands, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands, and that's a very pretty cool game, and I need to thank the person who sent me the code for it, but I can't say him by name because he might, I don't want to get him in trouble, or he might work somewhere, and I don't want to.
Right. Yeah, look, so, if you gift us a game for the Boob Show, which happens from time to time, always tell me if I can say your name or not. I usually ask, but sometimes I'm like, some people just don't want to be.
You know,
they just don't want their name out there. Whatever.
Well, in his case, he's got credit. He works for the company who makes it, and I don't want to get him in trouble.
Oh, nice.
But
shut up.
Anyway, I didn't try out Wildlands when it came out, but I'm glad I tried it finally, because actually it turns out it's totally my bag. Like, even when it's not multiplayer, it's just me and four bots going around and PvEing this world and taking over these camps and stuff. It's basically all the stuff I liked about Metal Gear 5 without everything else in Metal Gear 5 that kind of annoyed me. It's just the, all right, we've got to scope out this compound. We need to mark these guys. Who needs to die first? What order are we doing this in? What's our best strat for getting in here? Should we take the helicopter and land it up the hill and come in that way? Should we bring motorcycles up to the base and then climb up this hill or go up the side of the cliff? Like, there's all kinds of weird open world ideas in there. And it's super fun. It's really good. Really, really liking it. J.K. Grammer has been bugging me for months to play that. He was right. We should play J.K. Grammer. We should play that game. It's cool. Anyway, but let me tell you what I have been playing a little bit more in earnest, at least this week, that I wanted to talk about. And that is a little game that's been out for a while now, and certainly in early access before this. It's now in full release and has been for a bit. But I don't know how much of this you may have played, but Dead by Daylight has been sitting on my hard drive going, hey, I'm right over here.
Like, if you don't hurry up and blame me, I'm going to be dead.
It wants me to play it. And the reason I think that is every once in a while I'll catch a stream and go, oh, yeah, Dead by Daylight. That's pretty cool. And I'll see numbers on Twitch go up. And I'm like, oh, there's some new content out. I should check that game out. And part of me is always like, well, it's a horror game and it scares me and I don't want to play horror games. But because I just did my big run through and finish of Resident Evil 7.
I was about to say, you know what? The thing that you probably hate the most or gives you the most stress is one of the most entertaining things for us as viewers to watch.
Yeah, it is. I think you're right. I think you're totally right. And so what I think it is, it softened me up. It made me go, oh, I could get in here again and see what's going on and not be too nervous about it all. And so I did. And I'm happy to say that Dead by Daylight has really matured, continued to get better and better, tons of content, great a progression system that wasn't there when I played it early. I don't know if I was playing early access or when what stage I got in and checked it out, but none of that was in yet. And so it's got this really cool kind of organic way to progress in the game. Apparently, right. At some point, because of when I bought it or how I bought it or because I was an early access purchaser, it gave me a Bill from Left 4
yeah,
Dead.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, old man Bill. He's in it. So I've been playing him. And, you know, I just want him to go, reloading. He doesn't ever do that, but I want him to. It's super intense. Now, some people are hearing this on the podcast version, and they're like, wait, what game are we even talking about? All right, Dead by Daylight. Here's the basics. Four survivors are all played by humans. Think of them as camp kids in... Like a Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Or a horror movie or whatever. And there is a Friday the 13th movie that tries to sort of be this as well.
The game, which I played this past year, it very much is
it's similar.
Dead by Daylight. Yeah. There's a lot of comparisons to it.
I don't think it's as good, but it's just my opinion. Yeah. Anyway, it should have been because it's got a big name and yet somehow it's not. But anyway, this game has also got a lot of deals with people. So you can be Freddy freaking Krueger and you can be... Michael Myers, and the music's in there and everything, and they have all these different monster creatures. So anyway, let me get ahead of myself. There's four survivors. They're all human players. That's what I prefer to be as a survivor. It's just kind of my thing. You're on a map, and on the map are located a bunch of objectives. In particular, the ones you're really watching out for are the these generators. You're trying to get these generators repaired, and you're trying to get them so that once they're all prepared, then a gate opens, you can get the hell out of here. Right. And you're trying to survive and live. In the meantime, one player is playing the creature or the horrible mass murderer, whoever it may be in this case. And his job is to go around and stab you, kill you. He's faster than you are. He's bigger than you are. He warns you, if you're around him, you hear your heartbeat loud and the music gets crazy, so you know you're in his range, so you try to hide and do all kinds of stuff. Once he catches you, though, he can just injure you and put you on the ground, and that's all he does if he wants, or right after he does that, he can pick you up, take you to a hook, put you on the hook, and now you have a chance to get away.
Vicious.
Yeah, it is vicious. It's super vicious. If you survive on that hook, they give you a chance to kind of like get out of it. Oh my gosh, this guy's gonna die. Sorry.
Did I play this game? Because are there like computer terminals out?
They're not
like
computer terminals.
Area?
They're generators, like power generators. But it may remind you of that, or maybe you are thinking of exactly that. I'm not sure. But they're scattered around. They're trying to repair them. You're trying to break them if you have time to break them. Once you've been hooked twice, I think you're dead. I can't remember when you die on the hook, but you can't get put on the hook too many times before you croak out. Other players can come and save you from the hook, so they can pick you up off the hook and save you. This guy's just messing with these players. Oh my gosh. Sometimes I hate the murderer because he can be just such a jerk. But anyway, it's an interesting time, and it's just a good, fun rip in the pants, and I like it. I'm not good at it. I'm not great at it. I'm kind of poopsky at it. I think I'm just
now,
sort
of... Have you played as the murderer at all, or have you always been the human?
I did the survivors mostly, and I had one game as the villain, as the murderer.
Right, right. Now, that's not something you choose. It's randomly placed upon you, is that right?
You can do random, or you can choose to be only one or the other, and there are plenty of games happening where you'll get right in. So you're never waiting. Like searching is just bam, bam, you're in a game, go. And there's always somebody to be somebody. So if I wanted to just be murderer, their games are popping real fast. If I want to strictly be a survivor, they pop very fast. And I assume that if you want to be either one and you just say, I'll be whatever you want me to be, it's probably even quicker matchmaking than that, which is pretty impressive. That just speaks to the size of the player base. Right, there's a lot of people playing this game.
I did play this. I did play this game. I played it last August. Mm-hmm. I didn't play it for very long because I think I immediately got the Friday the 13th, and I didn't want to be playing both. I played it for a minute. It was last August. Mm-hmm. the PlayStation Plus, it was one of the free games that month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have it. But you said you had it on the PC, right?
Yeah, I got it on the PC.
Dang it.
I had it on the PC for a long time. I don't know if the crossplay thing exists in this game or not. As like we were talking about with Vermintide, it's possible. I don't know.
Right.
But it's...
And see, PlayStation and Sony's not as cross-play compatible generally.
No, they're so weird about it.
Probably not.
I mean, whatever. They're in first place and they can kind of be weird about it. But I think it's bad for them to be so weird about it. I think
can they be in first place forever if you have a bad attitude? No. I don't think you can.
You know what usually happens is they end up... getting screwed the next generation, and it's happened to Sony. Yeah. It's happened to Microsoft. You get cocky, and then you get screwed.
Consumers have a long memory. We may accept things like the prices of CDs when they got up to $20 back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
The music industry thought they were having a good old time selling us $20 CDs with one or two songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
That will bite you in the ass eventually. We fight back as consumers. We'll go, oh, you just wait till next time.
Yeah,
you
no,
just wait
totally.
Till next time. I don't forget.
Especially console people. We get very tribal and pissed off
very
and
tribal.
All that. One other thing I should say about this is for some reason the hooks act as like sacrifice points. And so your job as the killer is to put everybody on these hooks. So eventually when you die to the hook, a big weird spider creature from the sky comes down and stabs you through. And then takes your body and or your spirit or whatever. I don't understand. There's probably some story to this that I don't know. So it's not just about, ooh, psycho murderer. It's psycho murderer who appears to be working for a higher power that wants to take all these human souls kind of thing. That's my impression of what they're doing here. It's an odd game, but it's very exciting and it makes me scream. So go play it.
Every time I see Dead by Daylight, and I've been wanting to get into it really heavy, and since you've talked about it, I'm going to check it out this week.
If you end up with it on PC, let's play it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I definitely have it on the PS4, so I'll probably load it up there. But if a copy finds its way to my PC inbox, we'll see.
Okay.
So I always see the cover, and I always think, oh, Dead by Daylight. I've played that game, I think, but why does it have a 5 or a 4 across the front? Because I always think that's like the series number of the game, but is that
just
like
the logo? All it is if you look
logo
at it,
and they're just, it's like it's crossing out number of people that he's killed. Is that
so if you look at it, those four, the four that are sticking up,
that
are,
makes sense.
They all have little heads,
right?
That represents the campers or the survivors, and then the one slicing through it is him technically. So it's a pretty clever idea, but you're right, it does look like it's supposed to be a version or like version 5.
Every time I see them, like, did I like they like 4? Which one do I have? The first one? I don't want to play the first one. Yeah. I want to play part 4.
Yeah, no, this is one game, one part. Blah, blah,
gotcha.
Blah. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Tell me about Max, the Curse of the Brotherhood.
The Blubberhood.
The Blubberhood.
Okay, so Max, the Curse of the Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. The Curse of Brotherhood. This game came out in 2013, is a console exclusive for Microsoft. Why am I playing such an old game? Because I picked up an Xbox One, and this was one of the games that was on the Play Pass. And I thought, it looks kind of cute. I like cute games. It's a platformer. It's got some 2.5 or 2.5D elements to it, and it's got physics. And I'm thinking, it looks cute too. Plus, it kind of looks like a late 90s cartoon, like Jimmy Neutron or something. Remember those 3D kind of cartoons during that time period? It's a little bit slicker than that, but I think the main character, Max, who's got this really big, spiky, almost kind of big bowl on top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I think this is going to hit me just right.
Mm.
So I did, and I picked it up, and right away, this game has elements of the occult. So, right. So
I love it right away. It's of the devil,
right? Right away. It's all about the devil right away. So no, at first it was like, oh, this nice little serene little neighborhood. And Max is showing up, by the way, this is a sequel, which I didn't figure out until later. I was like, oh, of course.
So it's Max, the Curse of the Brotherhood And then there was one before this just called Max Magic, something like that.
Oh, all right. So it dealt with magic there as well, apparently. So, So I was watching the intro, and basically Max has been at school and he shows up back home like you do. And his little brother Felix is ransacking his room and messing up crap like they do.
Oh, brothers,
and so
man.
Max, oh. Right. That's the brotherhood.
Yeah.
The curse of brotherhood. So he hits the, he hits Giggle, which is the pseudo search engine of this thing. And he looks up this website. By the way, I looked the website up too. It was,
they really call it Giggle, called? By the way, it's Giggle.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Giggle. It was, that's kind of lame. I was like, oh, that's it. I'm out. Bad jokes. Bad. I'm out of here. And I'm like, wait a minute. I love bad jokes. So he heads over to handysorcery.com, which I looked, there's no such thing. But he recites this, this spell, and immediately a portal opens up in the room, grabs, and this monster grab claw comes in and goes, and takes Felix out. Mm. Start the action. Mm. So at this point in time, Max realizes he's made a mistake, and he heads out on this quest in this other world to retrieve his brother Felix. And at that point in time, everything turns into, like I said, this 2.5D platformer where you're running along and you're trying to jump these bridges and trying to jump between like these rock formations and climbing up vines, everything. At the same time, in the background, you have Felix getting chased. He's being run down behind the background by this monster. Looks like he's from you ever watch Where the Wild Things Are?
Yeah, or the bad guy in those Daffy Duck commercials.
Oh yeah,
or cartoons where it was like a weird monster that.
Yeah,
you remember what I'm talking about? It kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. He's kind of got like this giant head, and he's got mushrooms growing on his arm fur, and he's got like a battle scar on his head too. I was like, I want to know more about that story, but you don't get to find out because that guy, even though he introduces you to this world, he actually disappears pretty quickly. Hmm. And you end up running into this magic lady in a tree who explains everything that's going on with puppets. Hmm.
Oh,
and so
she
explains to you that your little brother has been kidnapped by Mustachio. Hmm. So he's got your little brother, and he's going to absorb his essence. And, you know, just basically eat him. Kind of like, you ever seen The Labyrinth?
Oh, yeah, like Labyrinth. That. Sure. Sure. Yeah. Love that movie.
So that's kind of how it feels. It feels like you're going through this 2D platformer labyrinth of puzzles. A lot of physics going on later on in the game.
How are the physics? Because they look a little dubious. Like, on a couple of moments here I'm watching, seems like, hey, that's not bad. Those are cool physics. Yeah. And other times I'm like, oh, that doesn't look good at all. That looked really terrible. Is it?
No. It's the physics. It adds an element of depth to the puzzle solving because it does get kind of tedious just jumping between the platforms. So it does enhance it that way. What this game really succeeds at is the fact that there's this really good pacing of urgency as well as trying to solve puzzles. So you don't ever like get to an area and go, okay, I'm going to stand here for about 20 minutes and figure this puzzle out. Even though sometimes you do, lots of times right after that, you'll get rewarded with this really fast paced running and jumping where you have to like just kind of take it as you go and just like take a chance. And I think at that point the game really succeeds.
Hmm.
But I'm like I said, I'm trying to get to Mustachio. I haven't gotten to Mustachio yet. I only had like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hours in this game, and so I haven't quite got there yet. How long to beat? Well, it's going to be longer than when I played. But let's see. 6 hours is the.
Oh, you're almost there then. You're not too far.
Yeah, so I'm not too far.
Yeah,
I'm probably
going
to finish this up. I'm probably going to finish it up.
Yeah, you should finish it up. That's fine.
Oh, absolutely. And I originally played this on. I had gotten the demo. What? I got the demo
what?
On the PlayStation Switch, and it was really fun on the Switch. I actually got
to
say.
Did you just call it the PlayStation Switch? You did.
Did I say PlayStation Switch?
Yeah.
Holy Moses. I have been off my game all day. Tell you what. You get stuck out of your office and have to record from a spare bedroom.
Yeah.
Your mind will be.
Yeah, no, trust me. I would be a complete. I'm already a mess. Imagine how bad it'd be if I had that. Yeah.
So the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
That it is much more fun on the Nintendo Switch, but it costs money there. If you have the Xbox Play Pass,
mm-hmm.
it's free.
Well, so which also costs money, but you're right. It's like it's part of your subscription. You just get it, right?
Yeah. With the Xbox, is free.
Yeah. Oh,
with the,
is it?
There's no free stuff with, you know, the Switch.
I thought Xbox. Games. Wait, Play Pass Am I thinking of Game Pass? Which is the one that costs money every month? What's that one?
Maybe it's Game Pass.
Oh.
I called it a PlayStation Switch. You can count on me to call stuff right. Let's see. There's the one thing I don't like about the Xbox is it the Game Pass? Is it the Live? Do you have to have Live and the Game Pass? Do you have to have all these different
Sony
elements?
Has the same problem though. You got Plus and you got freaking Now, PlayStation Now, PlayStation Plus, Remote Play, View. Like there's a million, View, there's all these dumb, I hate that, hate it.
Yeah, so it is the, I did have it right, it's the Play Pass on the Xbox, it's $9.99 a month. When I got my Xbox One, I just signed up for $1 just to see what it'd be like, because they let you do that for 1 month.
Yeah, no, it's a good service, people love it. I think it's the best thing, it's one of the strengths of the platform, I like it.
Yeah, I actually feel like, the titles. Now, it's been a while since I've looked at the PlayStation version of this. I felt like the titles on the Xbox with the Play Pass were a little bit better selection. I'm not saying it's an absolute fact, but the last time I looked at the version on the PlayStation, I wasn't impressed. I really enjoyed just the PlayStation Plus, where you get 2 or 3 free games every month.
No, Game Pass. Sony does not have anything resembling Game Pass yet, and they need to, because Game Pass is an awesome service. I'm a huge believer in this, and I think it's going to be the future of games. They just Sony feels less pressure to do any of this because Sony's not in a catch-up position, and it's benefiting us that Microsoft, at least this generation, is, because I think this leads better into the next generation for them, better services for us. If Sony or if Microsoft comes out strong with whatever their next plan is, that's really good for them. That's really good for us. I would happily be more invested in a Microsoft platform next time around if that was the case. So this is a good thing.
Well, I expect to hear more about Xbox this year. Don't expect me to be a Microsoft fanboy. I am truly, it's in my personality, it's in my DNA to love all platforms. And I will tell you what I think about the strength of one and the strength of the other, because they all eventually either fail you or, you know, succeed in areas. It's just how it is. Steam has had Max, the Curse of Brotherhood, where you can also pick it up. It has been as low as $2.99. But it's like I said, this game's been around for a while. What, 2015 is when it, or 2013.
13? Jeez, that's 5 years ago.
No, wait a minute. Let me get it right.
Five?
No, definitely not. Six? 20?
Six?
No,
is it really?
No. 2000. It's been around 5 years, or right, just a little over 5 years.
Okay.
Back in the 20th of December, 2013. But it still looks good and it holds up. And like I said, I had a lot of fun with Max, the Curse of the Brotherhood. I'm hoping I can finish it up this week and give my final thoughts. Probably post on my blog, Twitter.
On your blog, Twitter.
Whatever it is that I do. Yeah. Blog, Twitter, Twitter blog.
The internet Twitter. All right. I played another game that makes you go left to right. So this will be fun. We go from one game that goes left to right. We're going to go to another one. But this one is very different from that. Mostly because it's a huge pain in the ass and makes me yell and swear. And the name of this game is Robbie Swifthand and the Orb of Mysteries.
That sounds filthy.
It kind of does. But Robbie Swifthands, and the reason he's called Robbie is because he robs stuff. He's like a little bandit.
Oh, Swifthand, because he's good at it.
He's good at it. And his job is to, I can't exactly tell you what the story is because it makes no sense to me, but he's in this like old castle place talking to some blue spirit who says, cool stuff's in this temple. If you want it, you're going to have to go in there. And he's like, ooh, loot. Okay, I'll go because I steal things. He gets excited about it. So Robbie Swifthand, I streamed this the other day. Some people who are here may have seen me play it, but it is somewhere nestled between Super Meat Boy and last year's Celeste game, which are both very skill-based, timing-based, platformery things that are all about failure and retrying. And this game is a booger. It gets to a point, I actually think it's very good. By the way, I'm going to say that right up front. I think it's extremely a very good one of these types of games. And I think it's a really fun look. It looks good. It's got some great lighting effects and stuff and makes it super moody and stuff, which I really like. and it's got great controls, and that's what you need in a game like this. It needs to be really tight, and you know, you need to expect that once you get good at making the jump you need to make, that you're going to hit it every time because you're going to do it over and over till you get it right. It has all that, and the levels get harder and harder as you progress, which is also good if you like progression. And it's just tons of challenges. Like, got to get to this place, got to find this orb, throw the orb at the exit window thing that opens up another door, go to the door, go to the next level. What I like about it the most is these are not eternally long levels where if you die you're screwed and you have to go do it all over again. The levels are very bite-sized, and for a game this difficult, that is a welcome thing. You want to feel like this game, or you want to feel like you're making progress, and the best way for you to feel that way, I think, is these smaller, easier-to-handle levels. Because what's in the levels is hard and annoying and frustrating, but the fact that they're a little bit shorter just feels like they're throwing you a little bit of a bone, and I like it. This person I'm watching doesn't know what to do here. You got to get on top of that thing. There you go, buddy. Come on. Get
look,
on top
and this is, there's a free demo of this thing.
There you go. He got it. Yeah, there is a demo, so you can try it. You should try it, Brian. I think you'd like it.
Xbox Live Gold, Celeste is their free game this month. I was already planning on playing that.
Oh, you should totally play that. That game's great.
Really I might good. Have to also synergize, which is a word that Scott loves, with
I
this
love
game as well.
That word.
I'm playing
oh,
it
yeah.
On the PC. By the way, Obsidian, he's one friend who I have on Steam. He's the only friend that I had that wants this game.
Oh, he has it down as he wants it? That's hilarious.
He wants it, I know. So if maybe I get a copy for me for $12.99 and I get a copy for Obsidian, and you know, don't count on Obsidian, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe you'll get it. And then if you're listening, you should play it and be frustrated and swear at it a lot, because that's what I did, because there's some really hard levels, but they're very satisfying when you pass them.
Like a game that would be, once again, the strength of the Switch is the ability to lay in bed and to enjoy an experience. And this looks like it's really dark, but it's got these really cool globe-looking glowing things. It looks like, and since it's such a small, quick puzzle games, it sounds like it'd be a great game for the Switch. Is this on the Switch?
I don't know. That's a great question. And I agree with you. It would be great on there. I think that would be a fantastic game, to be sure. It has great death animations too, by the way. Lots of really funny, like gross.
Yeah. How's the humor? Because it is like it would be...
I mean, it's funny, but there's not... I don't know. The storytelling that you do get, like little bits, it's right. Okay. It's okay. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's watching fine. This guy, by the way, I see no Switch version, but who knows?
This guy does not understand what he needs to do. I guess he can play it that way. That's fine. It just would be really good on the Switch. I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up there. I guess maybe it needs to be successful on Steam. It's obviously a small project. I don't think this is a big team or anything, but fun little game. Robbie Swifthand and the Orb of Mysteries. Available now. I got it on Steam. I don't know where else it is. Might be somewhere else as well. So
I think I only see it so far. It looks like it is primarily in the indie market, like the itch.io's and on the Steam store. That I think it's mostly resides in that area. December 5th, 2017. So I don't know how much they're really still pushing and developing. Now they've recently updated.
Yeah,
since
they do
2018,
updates.
So
they've done some
good.
Updates. Yeah. They've been good about it. I just had this ancient code sitting around forever. And I'm like, what is this? I don't remember what this was. And fired it up. Right. Like, oh, this is all right. This is fun. It's very challenging.
All right.
If you go to my VOD, you can watch me play it and swear a lot. I swear a lot in that thing, which is what I do in those games.
I'm enjoying your streaming more that you're. Mm-hmm. You're doing. I've been enjoying that. I've got to get in on that.
Doing a lot more streaming. Thinking, well, let's see. Tonight I have another show, but I might stream tonight. I don't know. Tomorrow I start the run through Soma on the Frogpants Play stream. So nice. That'll be good. Since I'm done with Resident Evil, I can get onto that. So yeah. So there's a lot to be seen if you care about any of that. All right, Brian, you took advantage of the Epic Store free game of the month deal, which netted you What Remains of Edith Finch.
I did take advantage of this, but the funny thing is I didn't have to because my good friend Nick had already sent me a gift copy on Steam. I just hadn't had a chance to play it. Sent it on December the 22nd, then Epic opened it up for free. I think is still going on, I believe.
Yeah,
until
this
like
one
the
goes until
or something like that.
Yeah, the what's the party pack thing called? The bald guy trivia thing.
The bald guy.
What's called?
Yeah, that thing.
Whatever that is, that's next.
Jackbox
5th edition or whatever.
Jackbox.
Yeah, that's free next time. So.
Right, make right. Sure so that. What remains of Edith Finch? When I first saw this game, I was kind of like, I don't know. Maybe I'll be into it.
Did you think it was one of those walking simulators?
Absolutely is. So this is a very story driven game. It's very much on rails. It's a first person exploratory game, but oh my God, it's so good.
Mm.
I've really enjoyed it. You're showing up back home at this very unique house, the Finch household. And the Finch household is full of mystery in itself. There's apparently your family history has a bit of mental illness as well as unexplained deaths that seem to plague this family. And as Edith Finch, who is returning home, you're exploring the house and their story being told to you, narrated very beautifully, by the way, and also visually. Every time a bit is explained narratively, it is also explained with text that pops up on the wall, and they do it in such a clever way, in such a seamless way. I've played it several different times, and story points can actually be activated from different locations in the room that just very cleverly all just ties into this really smooth storytelling. And I have just been blown away. Mm. And I don't want to give too much away about the story because the fun part about this game is getting to know these different people that live in this house. It's full of closed off rooms and you have to figure out ways to access those rooms by clues that are spread around the house.
So it's a little like Gone Home or whatever that game
is. Yeah, that's a good comparison. Gone Home is kind of a good comparison, but this has a little more, this one's a little more odd, and the eccentric nature of the characters involved is a lot of fun. And there's a lot of clever ways of storytelling. There's one area where you learn about one of the characters and you are actually go into the body of that character and morph into different animals. And you have this really, it pops you out from the story that you're in to this kind of like this dream sequence. And it's hard to explain. Mm. It really is.
Well,
but
it looks cool
without giving everything away. And I like that part. I also liked there's like this. Are you a fan of the 70s horror comics?
Sure. I'm into it.
Those scary horror comics, mm-hmm. those anthologies, like, you know, the Crypt Keeper and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a nod to that as well. And pop into these comic panes that you're reading, and suddenly you're using this totally different art style, and you're playing like a mini game within that. So even though it's a story game, and story games may not be your thing, because you know you're like, oh, but where's the challenges at?
Does it feel scary or just exploratory? Like, does you ever feel like, ooh, I don't want to go in there? I mean, how does it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's suspenseful. I wouldn't say it's like scary, but it's very suspenseful. It very much has that humor that you would find in those 70s horror comics, because mm. they would be at one and on one hand they would be very scary, but another way there was such levity and just corny jokes that you're on the edge of being scared but never really being, you know, scared, just kind of like right on the outside.
Really like the art direction. Like this
the art direction is fantastic.
This isn't just a like a realistic rendering of a house. There's something more going on here. Mm-hmm. It's like a
the house is just wild, because you walk up on the house and at first you're thinking, oh, it's just a, you know, it's just this, you know, plain old house, and you know, I'm coming out of the woods, and you know, and it, but then you notice that there's like these additions and add-ons to the house, and this family has just been, everyone lives here in this family, and they just, you know, they just very eccentric.
I have this I own this for some reason. I think I got it on sale and then just never played it. I should probably, this
you
looks like something
totally,
I'd like.
Totally. Yeah, you should totally play it.
Is it, I mean, it's not just story. There's interactions, like you can pick stuff up and do things, and
It's very exploratory. Usually, when you'll see an element, it'll be shining. You'll walk into a room and there'll be one area that's shining, and you walk up to it, and a little hand cursor will pop up once you get close enough to activate it, and then you activate it. So you can be in a room and looking around, going, "What am I supposed to do next? I can't figure it out." And if you listen to the story, you know there'll be clues sometimes, and then you'll head over to the area where you need to be. And to resolve to the next
The looks next story. Cool. I have to admit, that looks rad.
Like I said, I've had a blast with it. I'm not quite through with that one either, but the how long to beat on that one is a little bit longer than Max.
Chat room's asking what's the name, and it's What Remains of Edith Finch. And it is available everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
Switch maybe not, but consoles and PC.
I don't know. This is one of the ones I don't think I would have as much fun on the Switch, because unless you actually hook it up to your TV, I don't think this would be a very good handheld game. Mm-hmm. There's a certain cinematic quality about it that makes it a little bit better on a larger screen. The larger screen you can get, the better. Oh, wow. I thought it was longer. It's actually only 2 hours in the main story. So, wow, I must have been almost complete then, because that's about how long I played.
Hmm. All right, I'm playing this game.
A little short.
It looks too cool. It bugs me that I own it and I haven't touched it. Seems like my kind of thing. Ooh, wow, look at that. That's just cool. Secret doors. And
it's free on Epic Games. The Epic Game Store is doing, it's Epic right now. It's doing great.
Oh, yeah, it's free. Go in there and do that. It's free, you dummies. Why pay for anything? All right, and you're still playing the story about my uncle. That's still happening. Still digging through that.
There's not much to say about it. I hopped on. It's another story-driven game that's kind of, the story is probably more interesting than the gameplay. The gameplay is pretty simple. You have a suit, and you arrive at, you go where your uncle, your crazy uncle, had created a portal to another world where he was teleporting his trash. You go to that world. And this world is full of weird frog people that you question. Did he make these frogs, or did he have some kind of genetic weird crossbreeding he did with himself? I don't know. It is a weird story, but it's pretty much the game mechanic is you have this power glove and it allows you to kind of like Spider-Man around. You can shoot and capture platforms and then ride that platform and swing to other platforms where you need
people
to go.
Like so that game that's a highly thought of game. People like it.
It is a great game. I had a lot of fun, but it's like I said, there's not a lot to say about it.
The voice acting is pretty bad though, is my memory.
The voice acting is not great. It's okay. The story about your uncle is kind of weird. I completed it. It's not a real long game, but it's not really deep, but it is fun. The game mechanic itself is a lot of fun trying to solve.
Swinging around's good.
Area puzzles.
I'm into it. All right. Well, let's move on. I got a little game to play. We play this every week, and it's called, where is it? This.
It's me, Mario.
It's Guess My Game, where Brian and I try to guess what each other's game is based on just nothing but sound. And you can play along too, chat room, if you want. Let's start here with Brian's. I have no idea what this is, so I'm just going to play it. Here we go.
Let's go! Hi-ya!
I bet the chat room knows.
I'm not sure yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Something very familiar about this.
Yeah. I am surprised no one has any idea. I played so much of this.
This isn't Sonic Adventure, is it?
No. But you're not way off. I mean, as far as Sonic's not right, but
But it's similar genre 3D platformer deal.
Not really, but it sounds like a lot of, you're right about the sound. It is pretty close to the sound.
Oh, geez. This isn't one of
How
those.
How about this? It was a Sony game.
Okay.
Originally. It's a series, and this was the first in the series from 1999.
Jak and Daxter?
No, but though, yeah, you're closer though in the gameplay style.
Oh, geez.
I intentionally picked one that wasn't as layered with the sound of monkeys.
Oh.
Because I figured that would probably give it away too quick.
Oh, Monkey Ball. No?
Monkey Ball with a bit of good. That,
oh,
I
no,
actually
no, no.
Thought about
no,
Monkey
I know
Ball.
It. I know it. Oh! It's the Sony one with the little monkey and he has a hat on.
Yeah, there's a little siren on it.
Yes. It's whip, whip. It's called.
And you got the little net and you're going whoop, whoop.
Oh,
whoop.
Frick. I forgot the name. Ape Escape.
Yeah.
That's it, chat room.
Ape Escape.
Ape Escape.
Yeah.
Oh, that's been a while.
I played so much of that.
Yeah, Ape Escape was cool.
And Monkey Ball.
Yeah, Monkey Ball. Monkey Ball was great.
Too.
Monkey Ball was a. I want to say I played that on GameCube. I guess that was everywhere, right? It's a Sega thing.
Yeah. Well, it was definitely the GameCube, right? I'm not sure what else made it to.
I'm pretty sure it was. Because
I was sure you would get Sega. That one because that one was just.
I haven't played it in so long. It was something familiar, though. From the minute go, I was like, wait, I know this. What do I know this from? I know it's from something. All right, you try this now. Now, this is just music. I want to give you that warning. This is just music from a game. I'm curious what you if you'll figure it out. And it's something I love. Here you go. Any guesses?
It sounds like a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like one of the is it kind of like a match game?
No. Nope. I'll say that it's something that came out with. I'll say it launched. Oh, this may be giving it away. It launched with the Xbox 360 and was immediately one of the coolest things, and maybe through the entire 360 run was still one of the coolest things they ever made.
That is funny. For some reason, I was thinking that was from the original Xbox. It reminded me of some of the work from the original Xbox. Mm. Like I was thinking, like Fusion Frenzy and that kind of stuff.
Oh,
it was a 360 area. Oh, what?
Is
it Fusion Frenzy?
No,
that wasn't the 360.
No.
Area.
When the Fox got it. I don't know if you're looking at chat.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He said he spelled it wrong. He wrote Geometry Wars, but it's Geometry Wars. Geometry Wars Retro Evolved. Was the first game. I also think 2 and 3 are great games as well, but that first one was just something else. And I realized, so the whole idea was their Project Gotham Racing, which was a popular series on Xbox original, and also had a game or two on the 360, if I remember right. That racing game had a hidden, I don't know if it was hidden, but it had a mini game, and it was just like fake little... Bizarre Creations was the name of the company that made it. This fake little arcade game called Geometry Wars. And it was a dual stick shooter and it was very retro looking and very old school. In the Retro Evolved thing with the 360, they basically took that and just brought it into a much more vibrant, sort of exciting looking graphical sort of way of playing it and music and sound and stuff. And it's awesome. It is so freaking good. It's still one of the best dual stick shooters of all time, if not the best. Just feels great, is great, still worth playing. So if you haven't played Geometry Wars, I feel bad for you. I'm sad for you. I cry for you. I
love the Geometry Wars. That was good stuff. That was a 360?
Yeah, 360 launch.
That was also the original Xbox.
No, 360 launch title. Well, like I say, the Project Gotham thing had the old school version of it on the original Xbox, but it wasn't its own game. It was just like a little weird hidden thing.
Right.
Geometry Wars on Switch, I don't think so, but that'd be a great place for it. Geometry Wars 3 is available on just about everything. And some people don't like it. I really like it. I think 3 is awesome. It's just a great evolution of the whole thing. Some would say, well, it's because Bizarre Creations got destroyed by Activision, so they're not around anymore, so that's not them making it. Well, yeah, but it's still good, okay? And it is basically Asteroids. But you don't play Asteroids with two sticks. It's more like Robotron. Get it together, Kurt the Cast. All right. There's our fun little game. We like to play that game. That's a good game. And now we play this game. It's where we talk about a quick news item from the news desk. Star Control Origins was removed from Steam. I own this game on Steam, so I had some interest in this. Origins was removed from Steam and Good Old Games with a DMCA takedown notice. from the original DOS creators of Star Control. Then it came back to Steam. So now it's back on Steam. I actually recommended this game on the show. It was no longer for sale on Steam or GOG. It's still not for sale on GOG. However, Steam has it back. And if you already owned it, it didn't change anything. You kept playing it as much as you wanted to. So there was no change there. But Stardock, who have the current rights to make these Star Control games, got into a little bit of a legal dispute with the original copyright owners of the original game in DOS, which came out in like 80, I don't remember, but it's Fred Ford and Paul Ricci. And they did a Digital Millennial Copyright Act takedown of the content.
I love they call it a takedown. Every time I hear it, I always think it's a wrestling move.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
a takedown.
Yeah, the DMCA takedown.
Takedown.
Anyway, they thought they had all the rights. Apparently, there's some dispute from the original creators, and now they're fighting
they had the right to the name, but they didn't have the right to the story, and they included too much of the story or similar story.
I don't know if it's that. I think the old guys are just like, we want more money is what I think's going on. I mean, when's the last time
money.
They made it?
I don't, hey, if they stole my story and all I saw was
steal
the
it.
Name,
they don't have the rights to it anymore. They have no more rights to that game. They don't, and there's no story to speak of. It's freaking. It's a 4X game. It's like Civilization. It's like there's nothing in there that they. If you lose the rights to your product, somebody else now owns it, and that's all legally done, right. Which it is. Then they are done with it. They don't have their old rights to it anymore. They can't just suddenly pop up and go. Oh, it's selling pretty well. How about we say we didn't give you the rights to? Like, come on. It's they're being poops. I think the original guy.
Since I never played the new game, I have no investment to think you can't take this down. I'm just like, I don't care. I mean, I care because I want to make sure that if the original creators, if they sold something. They didn't sell more than they had thought because these were teams and this is 1980 something. And how much ownership did you own of something? It was a different time. They couldn't have possibly seen what was coming.
Yeah, but that's not their fault. That's their, how do I put this? Yeah, they can't see the future, but it doesn't matter. It's still not legally theirs. You're done.
Right. Well, you could still pursue a legal opportunity. Even if you lose, you might be right. They may have no rights.
Yeah, they don't. They can pursue this all they want. There's no way they win the rights back.
I feel a little short. I feel a little bit. I fall a little bit short of going. This is just a money grab.
This happens all the time, though.
Absolutely.
All the freaking time. Like, absolutely. Like for some reason, YouTube won't let one of my videos be monetized because it says it contains sensitive content. And it's one of these shows with my wife where we don't talk about any sensitive content. I have no idea what they're talking about. I probably said 10 things on this half hour show.
Did you even once call it a couples cast? Because if you did,
no, I don't call that. That's an old 2000s thing to say.
Right. It gets me up in arms.
Yeah, they'll sort it out in court if they want to take it that far. Basically, to issue a DMCA is actually not that hard to do. And what happens is a lot of these services just honor that out of the gate, and then you have to kind of. Go defend yourself and say, no, we have the rights to this now, which is apparently what's happened because Steam's got to back up and probably the same will happen at GOG. And these guys aren't going to go all the way to court and pay for this. When's the last time they made a Star Control game? They quit making them. They sold their rights. They're done. You're not making games anymore, guys. I'm sorry. You're just not. I loved your originals. They were great. I played the hell out of them back in the day, but come on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. I am not a litigious person. And so I always go, oh, why? Just let people enjoy things. But
have you ever had to do a deposition, like for a court deposition?
No.
Oh, thank you, Carter. I have had to do that, and it sucked. I hated every freaking second of it. And it was for a company I worked for. It had nothing to do with me, but they had to get my testimony because I worked there.
Right.
And it ended up coming to nothing. They settled or something. I don't know what happened, but.
That's usually what happens. It just grilled me, man. Yeah.
Do you remember this email? What year is it? Freaking 500 years ago? No, I don't remember that email. Oh, interesting. It's not interesting. I don't remember it.
It just remember this is the reason why so many people hate lawyers. Lawyers, I get it. I don't hate you, but I get it. You got rules and regulations, and you gotta play, you know, to the best of your abilities to represent your client either side. But yeah, it's a nasty bit of business.
Yeah. Ooh. Whatever. Good luck to them. Hey, it's time for emails. We got an email here from a listener. Sarah wrote in to boopshow@gmail.com. Her name is Sarah. She says this: Scott and Brian, I got a gift card for the Xbox store for Christmas, and I couldn't figure out what to use it on. Then I saw an ad while I was on Steam for a game called Forgotten Anne. I looked it up on Xbox and found it there too, and decided to use my gift card for that. I am absolutely obsessed with this game, and it's incredible. It's the art style of Studio Ghibli and developed by Square Enix. 9 out of 10 on Steam, 82% on Metacritic, 75% on PC Gamer. I have to agree completely with these ratings. It's beautiful and a super cool concept. You are an enforcer in another realm where humans forgotten items such as lost socks or misplaced shoes have a life of their own. You open a rebel attack and play as Annie as you try to figure out what's going on. My only criticism is the lack of direction, so I've gotten confused as to what's supposed to be happening or what I'm supposed to be doing from time to time, but the art design more than makes up for it. Getting lost exploring the location is so much fun since it's so beautiful. I'd be down to send either of you a code for this game. Just hit me up. Love the show. Boop. Sarah. Well, Sarah, you don't need to feel like you have to do that, but I am interested in checking it out. I haven't heard of it. Never heard of this.
Right. If you do have a code, send it to Scott. I played it last year, Scott, and talked about it on this very show.
Forgotten Anne.
Yes.
Is that why it's familiar? It's a little familiar.
And you've forgotten it already.
Oh, I remember this.
Yes. This was also sent to me by a friend of the show. I don't know. Once again, I'm like, I can't remember. Am I supposed to say who it was? I can't remember. Anyway, I don't want to out somebody if they gave me a code. I don't know. Hey, yeah, sure. Why not? Anyway.
Hand animated. I liked Realm it. Of Wonder. Everyday Objects.
I love this game. I didn't get finished, but I played a good ways through. And everything she said, Sarah, was very good. Because that is pretty much how I felt, too. It was really this beautiful game. A lot of fun. I did feel a little left in the dark sometimes from the direction, but sometimes that can be fun. If you like that in a game, you maybe like that. It's not for everybody, though, but yeah.
It's interesting.
But it's a great game.
It looks like a really cool art style. I mean, it looks like an animated anime. You know, an animated anime.
But Studio Ghibli is a great comparison for what it looks like.
Huh. All right.
2D hand-drawn animation.
I'm interested. She really is glowing about it. Thank you, Sarah, for the email. If you'd like to send your own email in, it's real easy. Send it to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter @boopshow. You can find Brian @TheBrianDunaway. You can find me @ScottJohnson. And you can find the show over at frogpants.com/BOOP.
Woo.
That's going to do it for the show. Brian, any final words and thoughts?
I want back in my office.
Oh.
It's sad in here.
Oh, it's coming soon, dude. It's gonna happen. You're not gonna be left on the lurch too much longer, I don't think.
We got it.
Yeah, we got this.
Then I could dance around again.
If you want to watch me play through Soma, I'll be doing it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, and possibly more other times.
I have Soma. I maybe I play Soma in tandem.
Yeah, why not? Let's do it. I'm over at frogpants.tv for that. That's just takes you to the Twitch channel. That's every day or every Tuesdays and Thursdays. Plus other random times, but on those days you can find me there at noon to 2 p.m. Mountain Time. So check it out. All right. I think that's going to do it for me, for Brian, and for all of you. You have good day. Bye, Brian.
Good day. Good day.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.